We'll be in the book of Acts this evening. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, if you have your place in the scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Acts 12, and we'll go down to the end of the chapter, and we'll begin in verse 24, and then we're going to read the first few verses of chapter 13 as well. So I'm in Acts 12 and verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and men which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Samos, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, the fellow I want to preach about this evening, I want to talk a little bit about that fellow by the name of John there in the end of verse 5. And he's also mentioned in verse 25, when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. The title of the message tonight is just simply John Mark. Sometimes he was referred to as John, sometimes Mark, sometimes John Mark, same fella. And I want to look at his life just a little bit and see if we can't learn a little bit from him and from some of the circumstances and people surrounding John Mark's life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd just help us tonight. Give us exactly what we need. Lord, I pray that we'll be challenged and encouraged. And Lord, that our lives will change as a result of your word tonight. Now, God, I need you. I just pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This fellow, John Mark, was a young man, very, very likely a teenager. And he was Barnabas' nephew. And he was the kind of guy that just wanted to be a blessing to others. Don't you love it when somebody just wants to be a blessing? And especially young folks. We've got a lot of young folks here tonight. You know, you're a blessing because you're here tonight. I mean, I don't know your lives, and I don't know what else you do and how you might help other people, but just the fact that you're in the house of God on a Wednesday night blesses my heart. I'm sure it does the others that are here today, and I appreciate y'all coming. That's the way he was. He just wanted to be a help to other people. It seems to me like he probably had what we refer to as a servant's heart. He just had a heart to be a servant and to help other folks, to be a servant to somebody else. It's a wonderful thing when we learn to serve. The greatest thing is not to lead, but to serve, to be a servant. Jesus was a servant. He came to serve. And in serving, he ended up leading, but he was a servant. And he's still a servant. He's still serving us. He's making intercession to God for us on our behalf even today. Amen. He's still serving us. And this fellow, John Mark, was a servant. Now, as far as we can tell, he had no special calling in his life. In other words, the Lord called me back when, I would have been my early 20s, right around 20 years of age. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but the Lord called me to preach. Okay, that was a specific calling. God called me to preach his word. I don't believe that John Mark at this particular time had a calling like that in his life. If you look at chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay, so Barnabas and Saul were separated for the work, and then in verse 3, they laid hands on them, basically ordained them to the ministry and sent them out. But John Mark was with them. He just didn't receive a calling from God. You see, you don't have to have a calling from God to be involved in the work of God. All right, I believe that a preacher of the gospel, I believe the pastor, I believe that a preacher needs to be called of God. All right, but your pastor can't do it all by himself. He's got a bunch of folks around him that help. Okay, helpers, servants that serve under the pastor that facilitate the work that he's doing and help behind the scenes. All right, that's where this fellow was. He wasn't called to the ministry, but he was involved in the ministry. And I want to challenge you folks tonight, get involved in the ministry. John Mark was. And thank God for Barnabas and Saul, the preachers of the word. Amen. We need preachers today. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for folks that will stand up and proclaim the word of God, but don't ever discount the behind-the-scenes people that help keep things going, that take care of so many of the menial tasks, and that sometimes they're big tasks, very important tasks, and all of that has to be done, and that was the part that John Mark was playing. Now in the church today we have so many folks. I mean you have teachers, Sunday school teachers, folks that teach in junior church, and you have ushers, you have deacons and trustees, you have bus workers. I understand a lot of churches haven't got their bus ministries rolling yet because of COVID, but you haven't gotten rid of the buses, amen. The bus and the van's still there. Praise God. Don't ever get rid of your buses, amen. Don't ever shut down the bus ministry unless it has to be for a temporary time, because man, that's an important ministry. And it takes folks that are willing to serve. I'll be honest with you. Can I be honest with you for just a minute? Well, I'm the preacher. I guess I'm supposed to be honest with you for the whole time. I'll try my best. I want to throw something out here, all right? Two reasons, I believe, maybe three, that churches, a lot of churches today don't have bus ministries. One, they're afraid that the kids might mess something up. Forget that. All right. Bring the kids in. I mean, Jesus loved them. Amen. And then another reason is some folks say, but it costs too much. What kind of price can you put on a soul? You know, oh my goodness. Whatever it takes to get the gospel out into the community. Amen. But I'll tell you the big reason why a lot of churches have to shut down their bus ministries. They don't have anybody willing to work the bus ministry. I'm in churches where the pastor comes, opens up the building. He'll come Saturday and clean the building. Him and his wife, they'll clean the building. Sunday morning, they'll open up. They'll make sure everything's in place. And then they'll get on the bus or the van, and they'll run around. They'll pick up children. They'll bring them. They'll get back to church just in time to run in, get up at the pulpit, lead the singing, preach the message. Okay, give the invitation, go out, get on the bus, and take the kids home. But a lot of times the pastor he just can't do all of that. Not be an effective pastor, he can't. He just can't. Amen. And so nobody's willing to help. And so the church shuts down the bus ministry. I wouldn't plan on preaching the bus ministry tonight. I just happen to think of that and think of that bus sitting out there. And that thrills my heart. Every time I see a big yellow bus sitting in a church parking lot, I get just a little bit excited. And I pray that it won't be too long before the churches that have had to slow down in that area can get those buses rolling again. Amen. And bringing folks in. But anyway, so many things. What I'm talking about is ways that behind the scenes people keep things rolling. There's somebody back there running the sound booth. Amen. He was up here a little while ago leading the singing. Thank the Lord for Guy and his help. He's a behind the scenes person. He's a behind the scenes guy. Amen. And thank the Lord for him and for others like that. So folks that'll play the instruments, folks that'll sing in the choir, all of that makes things roll, makes things work, clean the building, and those that go out and knock doors and hang those little hangers on the door handles and you know all of that. It takes all of that to make the church go forward, and those are folks like John Mark. So thank you, folks. Thank you, John Marks, for keeping things rolling around here. Amen. The preacher couldn't do it all. Well, anyway, John was a helper until, for some unknown reason, John says, "I'm out of here," and he goes home. Look at chapter 13 and verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Well, I don't know why he left. The Bible doesn't tell us why. But for some reason, he'd had enough. And he went back. He left them and went back. I have to think, you know, kind of your mind wanders a little bit, and you kind of try to imagine what might have been going on. And he was a young fella, and he might have gotten homesick. Okay, I know sometimes young people, even tough young boys, can get homesick. I've talked to folks that have been involved in camp ministries and that sort of thing. And invariably, there's somebody at church camp that just can't handle being away from home. And somebody's got to come pick them up and take them home. They just can't deal with it. All right. That might have been it. Now he might have gone with them for a while and says, "Man, I miss my mom. I miss home. I miss a home cooked meal." How many of you like a home cooked meal? Amen. Praise God. I do too. Amen. And he might have just says, "You know, I just need to get home." It might have been homesick. Might have been tired. The ministry is grueling. It is. And he wasn't the kind of guy that I mentioned several others, other ways that folks get involved and help in the ministry. Many of those are just a matter of coming and pitch in for an hour. You help out an hour here or an hour there and maybe come a little early or stay a little late or whatever. But I mean, he was with the preachers 24/7. And he might have gotten tired. And I don't know. I don't know. He might have been afraid. You remember reading that big long list of things that Paul talks about that Paul suffered? The shipwreck and beaten and left for dead, stoned and, I mean, whipped the list goes on and on and on, you know. And I imagine running with Paul was a dangerous thing, a dangerous venture, and he might have gotten afraid. Says, I just don't know if I'm cut out for this. Well, let me mention a few things that were going on during this time. We really don't know for sure why he left. I have an idea, and I'll touch on that in a minute, an idea why he might have. But at this particular time, Saul's name is changed to Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus, okay? If you notice his name, up until this time, it was always Saul. And then during this time period, the Lord changes his name and he becomes Paul after that. Then also, I want you to notice that Paul becomes the leader. All right? If you'll look at chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem." Look at chapter 13 and verse 7. "Which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul." Now, look at chapter 13 and verse, go down to verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company," okay, not even a mention of Barnabas, but Paul gets top billing. "When Paul and his company were loose from Paphos." Okay, up until that particular time, it was always Barnabas and Saul. But after this particular time, it is always Saul and Barnabas. Okay, verse 43. Down a little farther here, let me find it. Verse 43. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas." Verse 46 again, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold." So Paul becomes the leader. Now here's what I think happened. Paul is the leader. Now, up until this time, Barnabas was in charge. Okay, now we're talking about John Mark. Uncle Barnabas was in charge. Uncle Barnabas was the boss. Uncle Barnabas told Paul what to do. And Paul answered Uncle Barnabas. Now, all of a sudden, this Johnny-come-lately, okay, this Paul, Barnabas was around a lot way before Paul. Before Paul got saved, Barnabas was in the ministry. Now, here's this newcomer, and this newcomer's in charge. And what's wrong with Uncle Barnabas? Why can't he be in charge? Now, here's this Paul, and we don't even know what to think about him. He's a good man, okay? I watched him and been with him a little bit, but Barnabas has more seniority. Barnabas has more experience. Why does Paul take the leadership over Uncle Barnabas? And my thought is that he just kind of got hurt a little bit and didn't think that his Uncle Barnabas was getting a fair shake. And he says, I can't live with this. I'm leaving. That's my thought. I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us the detail. You know what? The reason he left really isn't immaterial. But I think there's some things we can learn about this. One, when somebody disappoints you, there's usually some background that you're not aware of. When John Mark says, hey guys, I'm leaving. I'm going home. Paul got a little irritated. Okay, we'll get into that here in a little bit. But I don't know if they ever found out just what was in John Mark's heart that made him make that decision. Sometimes people disappoint us. And I've been disappointed by a lot of people. And I'm sure I've disappointed a lot of people. A lot of times there's some background that we don't know about. Maybe there's a sickness that we're not aware of, and we get critical. Why aren't they coming to the evening services? What's the problem? Where are they at? Backslidden, of course. Surely. They're on their way out. Give them another a couple weeks or a couple months, and they probably won't even be in church at all. Well, might very well be, and oftentimes it is. But what if it's wintertime and it's dark at night and that dear man's losing his eyesight and he's terrified the thought of being on the road, but it's embarrassing to him to admit that. And so he doesn't say anything to anybody. And we jump on him and say, sinner, whatever, you know, you're a backslider, you're getting away from God. We didn't bother to say, hey, sure miss you. Is there a problem? Is there something I can pray with you about? We got critical right away. What if that young fellow was afraid, just simply afraid? Hey, John Mark, come on, it'll be all right. Let's work together. You follow what I'm trying to say? Let's not be critical of folks when they make a decision we don't understand. Let's remember that there's no doubt something. Now, it might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing. It's irrelevant. The thing is that there are situations in our life that trigger a response. And if we got to the root of the problem, we might be able to help them rather than just mock them, criticize and ridicule these folks. So we don't know what somebody else is going through. I'm just trying to show you some things here that maybe be a help to you. But for whatever reason, again, we don't know just why John Mark left. But for whatever reason, Paul, from this point on, Paul looked at John Mark as a quitter. Now, have you ever known a good person to make a bad decision? Why, sure. How many of us, we would want to consider ourselves half-decent people anyway, right? Have we made a bad decision? Oh, yeah. More than one. More than two. Let's move on. We don't want to count those. Let's change the subject here real quick, okay? No, we all make bad decisions, all right? And it happens, okay? Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 36. chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So Paul says, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think we should take him. You remember, he left us. He left us high and dry when we needed him. He wasn't there. He is not dependable. You can't trust him. And I don't think we should take John Mark along. And Barnabas is saying, I think we should give him another chance. I think we should take him along. And they were trying to make this decision. You know, the one wanted to take him, the other didn't. Barnabas says, let's go and go back and see how some of these folks are doing. And Barnabas says, I want to take John, and Paul didn't think it was a good idea. Barnabas says, Mark's going with us. Paul says, no, he's not. And Barnabas says, yes, he is. Paul, no, he's not. He is not, is not. Yeah. Yeah. If John Mark goes, I don't go. If John Mark can't go, neither do I. Look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder the one from the other. The contention. I think they had a shouting match. I can't tell you for sure they were shouting at each other, but boy, it sure looks like it to me. The contention. You know what contention is? Okay, they weren't getting along, to put it very mildly, okay? The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder the one from the other. I mean, it started out over John Mark. Now, Barnabas and Paul, the two of them are fighting each other. And they're saying, I don't want to go with you. I don't agree with you, so I'm not going with you either. And they got at each other. I mean, big time. And it says the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, the contention was so sharp between them that they had to divide up. Now, Romans 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So somehow or another, even through our stupidity, God gets the glory, okay? There was some craziness going on there, but God always gets the glory, and God took a bad situation and made good of it. Now you got two teams going out and getting double the work done. Instead of having three people go together, now you pick up an additional person, and you got two teams, you're getting twice as much done. Does that mean that everything that transpired at that shouting match was a good thing? No. When we mess up, and we mess up real bad, sometimes God gets glory out of that. That doesn't mean our real bad mess up was a good thing. It doesn't excuse the mistakes we make, but that's the grace of God, that He can take a mess and work good out of it. That only God can do that. Only God can do that. Well, sometimes we mess up, make a bad decision, do something stupid. We do, don't we? Barnabas says, give him another chance. Paul says, absolutely not. Now, honestly, I believe all three of these men made a mistake on that day or around that time frame. I believe they all three made a mistake. I mean, first of all, John Mark quit. I know he had a reason. We don't know for sure what the reason was, but nonetheless, he quit the work of God. Can I tell you tonight, don't quit. Don't quit serving God. I know things are going to go wrong. I know you're going to get your feelings hurt. I know you're not going to get acknowledged when you did something for the Lord, and your name doesn't get in the bulletin when it should have. I understand. But you go on. You work on. You go on. You're not serving the preacher. You're not serving the church. You're serving the Almighty God. And the work goes on. I know it gets hard. I know it gets tiring. I know it gets scary sometimes. But you go on. You go on. You go on. You go on. And Mark quit. Paul had a valid reason there. Paul had a valid concern. He quit. Don't quit serving God. No, it's not always easy. But you go on. It gets hard working that old bus route. It gets hard. I mean, you're the first one here on a Sunday morning, and the food's cold by the time you get home for Sunday afternoon dinner. And in order to build a successful bus route, you're going to spend at least a half a day. Now, I'm not talking from 10 to 12. I'm talking about 4 to 6 hours a day on a Saturday if you're going to build a bus route. You're not going to do that in a few minutes. You're not going to just go around and give the kids a flyer that come, give them a Tootsie Roll and say, hey, see you in the morning. It takes more than that. It takes work. And we got a lot of quitters that don't want to work, so we don't have a lot of bus ministries rolling today, all right? No, you can't quit. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but John Mark made a mistake. He honestly did. Now, he was a young guy at the time. I get that, and we got to give him a little bit of credit. I realize that there were some things going on in the background and that no doubt influenced his decision, but nonetheless, I believe it was a wrong decision. Well, Paul. Yeah. The great apostle Paul. I believe he made a mistake that day. I really do. He wouldn't give John Mark another opportunity. He wouldn't give him another chance. Honestly, I believe Paul made a mistake that day. How many chances has God given us? Really, I believe Paul should have said, all right, Barnabas, one more time. Had a stern talking with John Mark. John Mark, we're going to take you, but honestly, we're dependent on you, young man. I need you to be faithful. I can't have you going back this time. You got to hang in there. You give me your word, let's do it again. I believe that would have been a much better response, okay? I believe it would have been a much better response. Well, what about Barnabas? What Barnabas do wrong? I'll tell you what Barnabas did wrong. Here's the great apostle Paul. Now, in Barnabas' eyes, he's just another servant. They're co-laborers, okay? They're equals, okay? We have the benefit of the scripture and looking back on it. You know, our perspective is a little different. But you got two men of God, okay? Two men of God. Now, God put Barnabas in a leadership position. But there came a point where God says, all right, Barnabas, I want you to step aside and let Paul take the lead. Now, this is God's decision. This is what God's doing. God made that decision. Paul didn't. Barnabas didn't. John Mark certainly didn't. God placed Paul in a leadership position. God's choice. Don't argue with... Men had no reason to argue with each other. This was God. And Barnabas comes up to the man of God and begins to raise his voice at him over a decision that he didn't like. Can I say, don't ever raise your voice to the man of God. Don't ever walk up to the man of God and point your finger in his face and say, you're wrong. Don't ever do that. You have respect for the office of the pastor. You have respect for the office of the man of God, the leadership that God put in place. God put a pastor in the church to lead the church. He didn't place the deacons to lead. And now, let me say this. I got to say this. I don't want to be misunderstood. Your pastor has not mentioned one negative thing about anybody in this church. He loves you, folks. He loves this church. He's made that very clear to me. And he has even shared with me how thrilled he is with the men who serve with him. And I say serve with him. He loves y'all. Okay, so I'm not trying to fix anything. Okay, I'm just saying that I've seen it happen in churches. Praise God, that kind of stuff doesn't go on here. But I've seen deacons get up and call down the man of God and try to shut him down and tell him how to run things and tell him, you know, hey buddy, you've been preaching too long. You've been saying things that you shouldn't say. You done quit preaching, went to meddling, and you got to back off, buddy. It's not right. That's not right. And I think that was Barnabas' problem that day. Barnabas should have never stood up to the man of God. What I think would have been better is Paul, I'm using your preacher as Paul, because Paul was the leader. Your preacher is the leader here. Okay. I take a subordinate position to your pastor. He's the boss here, not me. I'm preaching, but he has every right to get up and shut me down at any minute, and I would have the responsibility to sit down. He's the boss. He's the pastor of this church. So I believe Barnabas should have come to Paul and says, Paul, honest, I think we're making a mistake here. Can we, John Mark, could you go around the corner for a little bit? You know, Paul and I got to have a little discussion. And we calmly, one-on-one, talk it over. Now, we may not agree, but maybe Barnabas could have talked to Paul in a calm voice, and they could have worked it out, and nobody would have gotten offended, nobody would have got hurt, no shouting going on. You see, there's a way to handle disagreements, and it's not like Barnabas did it. There should have never been contention like that. Now, we might not be able, we're discussing this, and we can't resolve it. And he is the boss. So I say, Paul, man, it's been great. It's been great working with you. But honest, this is so important to me. We've got to part. I'm going to take John Mark and we're going to go our way, and God bless you, but we just can't work together. Wouldn't that have been a much better way to handle it? Really? Wouldn't that have been much better? Now, wait a minute. Here's John Mark. Barnabas and Paul didn't send John Mark around the corner somewhere and say, you go over there and we'll call for you when we're done. No. John Mark was standing right there watching these two men of God duke it out. How do you think that hurt him? How do you think that affected that young man when they're pulling on him? Paul doesn't want me. I made a mistake, but Paul doesn't want me. I'm out of here. I'm done with the ministry. I'm done. I don't want to be around. I don't want to see a man of God again. I'm gone. Imagine how that would have hurt that young man. Put yourself in that situation. That would have hurt deeply. And I think they all three made some mistakes along the way. Now, can I say that had Barnabas not taken John Mark with him? Remember, they did part ways. I don't believe they parted properly, but they did part ways. And Barnabas got a hold of John Mark and says, John, I'm sorry, but come on, I'll work with you. Would you go with me? I need you. I need you, John Mark. I need you. And let's go. And Barnabas invested in that young man's life. Barnabas invested in him and helped. I don't believe he'd have ever done another thing for the Lord had Barnabas not taken him along and helped him. Now go with me over to 2 Timothy for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sometime goes by. Barnabas invests in John Mark, and Paul goes on with Silas, and the work goes on. But notice 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Here's Paul speaking to Timothy, writing to Timothy. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul says, this young man that I didn't want to see again, This young quitter is profitable to me for the ministry. Thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas invested in John Mark's life, and now John Mark, even to Paul, is profitable for the ministry. Thank God for that. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, can I say, I do believe that Paul made a mistake, but let me remind you, the Apostle Paul was a young preacher at that time. All right, I don't believe that Paul would have handled it the same way by this time in his ministry. But early on in our ministries, sometimes we do some things that we regret later. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I know I know there's some things that I wouldn't do the same way that I did years ago in my first church. Brother Joel, Amanda sang for us a little while ago. Brother Joel is Amanda's husband, my son-in-law, okay? Great guy. I love him. I appreciate him. He just started pastoring a church just recently. And Brother Joel, your first church, I guarantee you're going to make a few mistakes along the way. We all do, okay? We all do. But we go on, you know, and we learn from that. And I believe Paul made a mistake early in his life. And again, Barnabas was younger then too. And of course, John Mark was a young fella. As we grow, we learn and we mature a little bit in whatever ministry, we have. Now, the thing I want you to see here, several things I want you to see tonight, but John Mark became profitable again. John Mark, in Paul's eyes, was worthless. But he became profitable again. A profitable for the ministry. Now, Barnabas invested in him. I know. But John Mark didn't have to take the investment. John Mark could have said, no thanks, Uncle Barnabas. Stop by and visit. You know, I'll see you at the reunion, but I'm going home. No. John Mark worked too. To become profitable again. Maybe you're here tonight saying, "Boy, I remember when I was profitable for the ministry." We all ought to be profitable for the ministry. Perhaps in your mind you can remember when you were profitable for the ministry. What I'm trying to say is the ministry grew, the ministry benefited from something you did for the Lord, for some way you served the Lord. In your church, because of the way you made sure the house of God was clean, because of the way you took care of the yard, because of the way that you helped clean the snow away from the and it'll be here again before you know it. Okay, they kept the snow away from the door because of the way that you stood at the door and waited for somebody that might need assistance and helped them come in and get to the elevator and because of the things that you did, because of the way you served in this church, you benefited the ministry. You were profitable for the work of God. But that was a long time ago. Can I challenge you to become profitable again? Become profitable for the ministry again. You might know a John Mark. No doubt. I almost guarantee you. Everybody sitting here is probably thinking about a John Mark. When I was describing him and how he quit, you're probably thinking, I know a John Mark. I know one well. I remember the guy that used to, and where's he at today? How about go get him a piece of pie and a cup of coffee and sit down and talk with him a little bit? How about go investing in his life? How about being a Barnabas? And say, you know, I remember this fellow this young lady that used to serve the Lord and she's out of church now, not serving God anymore. Come on, let's spend a little time together. And maybe it's an older person. It doesn't have to be a young person. There are older John Marks. There are older John Marks. There are John Marks that used to serve God in church. They used to have a ministry. They used to be involved. And today they're out of church altogether. How about a knock on the door? Just came by to see you. I want you to know how much we miss you over at the church. Man, we miss you terribly. Sure love to see you back again. Invest a little in their lives. How about if I stop by and pick you up this evening? Can I stop by and pick you up, bring you out to the revival Thursday night? Oh, I miss you so much. Everybody misses you there. Can I pick you up? Invest in that John Mark and see if you can help him to become profitable again. All right? I mean, there's so many ways we can look at this, but somehow or another, I really believe that we can find ourselves. we can find our name in here somewhere. We can find something that we can do. You might be a John Mark, you're here, but you used to be profitable for the ministry, but you're not anymore. Get profitable again. Be that John Mark and get profitable. Be a worker for the Lord. Serve the Lord. Amen. Be a helper. Be dependable. Be somebody you can count on. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's find some way that we can get back profitable for the ministry and find a John Mark that we can bring along with us and help train them and groom them to be profitable again. And see how we can advance the work of God. So many folks have so much potential. They have potential to do something for God if somebody would just give them another chance. Could you give somebody another chance? Could you invest in someone's life? Bring somebody with you tomorrow night. It might take an hour or two. That's all right. It's worth it. Amen? It's worth it. It's worth it. Invest in someone's life. Be a Barnabas. Be a John Mark. Get back in the ministry. Get back in the work of God. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father in heaven, God, I pray that you'd help us to find our place in the message tonight. And Lord, may we do business with you in whatever way you might be dealing with us. God, I think of the mistakes that John Mark made, the mistake that Barnabas made and Paul made, but all three of those men were saved on their way to heaven, yet they were fallible and made mistakes. And God, most if not all of these folks here tonight are saved and on their way to heaven, but they're fallible and they make mistakes. Thank you for being God, a God of second chances. Lord, my heart goes out to those who might be here not knowing for sure that heaven is their home. They've never been saved. God, help them to get it settled tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, before I finish my prayer, I'd just like to ask you a couple questions. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to heaven when I die. Could you lift your hand up as a testimony of God's grace in your life? I'm saved and I know it. Hold it nice and high for just a minute. All right, thank you. May I put your hands down? Perhaps you couldn't raise your hand. Can I tell you, God loves you? God loves you beyond measure. He does not want you to go to hell. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to repent of your sin. He wants to save your soul. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He loves you that much. He loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I really don't want to go to hell. I'd like to pray for you. I promise I wouldn't embarrass you in any way. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. If you just lift your hand up stating, Brother Black, I'm not sure I'm saved. Yes, I see that hand. Someone else, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. Yes, I see another hand. Anyone else? I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. But anyone else? Maybe you didn't raise your hand yet. You'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Is there anyone else tonight? Father, you saw the hands that were raised. And Lord God, I just pray that you'll help them. Help them get this settled tonight. Lord, if they'd come forward during the invitation, somebody will take a Bible and show them how they can be certain that heaven is their eternal home. Lord, I pray you'd give them the courage to do that. And before I finish my prayer, I got one other question I'd like to ask. Maybe you'd say, Brother Black, God spoke to my heart about something during the message. Maybe I need to be a John Mark and be profitable for the ministry again. Or maybe you're thinking of a John Mark and you need to be a Barnabas and help someone. You say, God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Why don't you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Yes, I see that hand. I see several hands. Others? Yes, yes. Others? Others? Father, you saw those hands that were raised as well. Lord, help us to do what you lay on our heart to do. Bless the remainder of the service. Bless the invitation. We turn it over to thee. In Christ's name we pray.